Today on the podcast, we're speaking to Emily Richards, founder and director of the Stickman Consultancy, and Flynn LeBrock, director of admissions at Uppingham School. We talk about the approach that schools need to be competitive in 2025, how to get buy-in from other members of staff outside of marketing in your school, word of mouth marketing, social media, and of course, the AMCIS admissions conference on 27th of November. Come with me, let's go.
Welcome back to the AMCIS podcast, brought to you by the Bonjour Agency. AMCIS is the Association for Admissions, Marketing and Communications in Independent Schools. And this is the podcast where we speak to people in the independent school sector. Let's get into this episode right now.
So very excited for this podcast episode. We've got Emily and we've got Flynn. You know who they both are because you heard that in the intro, but it's great to talk to them both here today. Emily, first of all, how are you?
Hi, Simon. Nice to be here. I'm really well, thank you.
Good. Great to talk to you. I imagine that most people listening to you at least know Stickman Consultancy. And if they know Stickman, they probably know Emily Richards as well. Emily is a very familiar face at the AMCIS conferences and all throughout the year as well. And Flynn, great to have you here. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Simon. Very well, thanks. Pleased to be here.
Well, it's great to have you here. Flynn, for people who don't know you, just give us a quick snapshot as to how long you've been at Uppingham and what you've been doing. Well, how long you've been in the world of school marketing. And if that's not too long, because I've got a bit of an insight there, what you were doing beforehand as well.
Of course. Simon, I joined Uppingham at the beginning of this academic year. So I've been here at time of recording about 5 weeks. So it's still all very new to me here. I've worked at Uppingham before some years ago. And actually, I'm an old Uppinghamian. So I know the school quite well from some time ago. And it's nice to be returning in this role now. I previous to this was the chief executive of the London Mozart Players Chamber Orchestra based in London. So I've had a bit of a career change recently. But before that, worked in summer schools and English as foreign language teaching. So I've got a bit of experience from before, but coming into this in a new way now, which is very exciting.
And I guess in that case, you probably don't have much experience of attending previous AMCIS conferences then, is
that
right?
No, this will be my first. This will be my first, and I'm looking forward to it.
Fantastic. Well, okay, so shout out to anybody listening to this right now. If you're going to be at the AMCIS admissions conference in November, and if you see Flynn walking around, then go and have a chat with him because he won't know so many people as you do. Right, let's have a chat then about the conference that's coming up. But also, what I'd love to talk to you about is the independent schools today and independent school marketing and admissions. Either of you, I'd love to know, how do you see schools carving out a distinctive value proposition in a world which is getting more and more competitive?
Yes, competitive, cluttered. It's, so hard to stand out, as you say, Simon, and increasingly so, isn't it? It's not just other schools, that schools are fighting for. It's, it's eyes on their social media, it's on their marketing, online generally. So the increasingly sort of noisy, crowded marketplace, it's so hard. And it's really, for us, it feels as though a really bold, confident approach is needed and a really succinct approach is needed. And particularly in the UK, different sort of internationally, but particularly in the UK right now, I think that value add piece is so important in terms of, too many schools are still saying the same things. They're still saying about nurturing the whole child, excellence in education. And so, they're peddling these same features. And so what becomes really important is how they talk about those features, making them very benefits driven, making the language, really elevated by making it really sparky and sizzly and really owning a brand personality. And I think in the UK, again, particularly sort of deconstructing your offer as a school and honing it down to those sort of core features, but then stacking the offer and the value on top of that. So, you're sort of saying, right, we have these, we have the academic rigor as our kind of, our core. That's a kind of given, you're paying for this. But then on top of that, we have this and we have this and we have this and we have this. So that by the end of that offer, a prospective family are just going to be nodding and just saying, wow, amazing. Why would we not do this?
Really interesting to hear that, Emily. In particular, when you talk about schools needing to have a bold approach right now, what do you think some of the things might be that hold schools back from taking more courageous steps to stand out more so in their field, in their market?
Yeah, it's such a great question. I think there's almost a shyness amongst schools, this sort of conservative, especially in independent schools, you know, there's this quality box to be ticked. Absolutely right. But I think that brings kind of almost this sort of inhibited sort of approach. And there are a lot of personalities, you know, to manage and please in a school. You know, you have to make sure everyone's comfortable in taking that bold approach. And if you're going to take it, everyone has to be aligned in that. And aligning people in a school when you've got those strong personalities and people having their own kind of direction at times, you know, is tricky for marketing directors in a school. So I think what holds them back? I think, you know, perhaps a lack of inspiration as well. You know, looking at what the big brands are doing is always my go-to. I spent 14 years working with commercial brands before moving into school marketing. And, you know, that's always my natural sort of, you know, what are the big brands doing? And they are being bold and they are, you know, really going out there and standing out in that noisy, crowded place. We pull together key message projects for schools, and we've had messaging where we've had a head proposed on a quad bike racing through his school grounds. We're just working on one at the moment where it's talking about giant eggs that pupils can climb on in the Woodland campus. And it is that level that they need to be at. You know, it's not just saying, oh, we've got, you know, ambition and excellence. You know, that's what we stand for. Any school can say that. We've got to push the boundaries, and everything around that has to have a coherence, whether it's the admissions team talking to an inquiring family, whether it's the head talking to a prospective family in his office, his or her office, whether it's on a tour, whether it's in the marketing, all has to hang together and have that glue at the core of it, those key sizzling messages.
Mm-hmm. Okay, understood. Thanks for that, Emily. Flint, let's jump across to you for a second. I'd love to understand what your initial thoughts are of the independent school sector. And I want to stress the independent school sector as opposed to Uppingham. So please feel free to not worry that you're talking negatively about your own school or positively about your own school, but very much just independent schools in the UK. How do you see the whole sector right now?
It's such an interesting sector, isn't it? I mean, you know, I think we all know there are lots of challenges at the moment and challenges on our horizon as well. Some that we can prepare for, some that we can't. I think there's a danger, isn't there, in our industry that we can be a bit complacent about things, and that we can still believe that families, parents will come to us. And actually, the industry has changed so much in the last years. And I think we have to be in a position now where we can listen much more to parents. You know, we hear a lot more from parents before they arrive and even when they're here now. You know, I was talking to our head of pastoral care recently, and the number of queries we get from parents once they're here is so much higher than it used to be. And I think that's just showing that we have a market where the buyers, if we can call them that, are much more... It takes a lot more to make the decision. You know, long gone are the days where whole families will just go to a school because generations have gone there, and therefore that's the decision made. You know, now they are coming, they're looking. We all have amazing facilities. We all have, as Emily was saying, very similar ways of talking about ourselves. And I think there's a danger that, you know, parts of the school can forget that they're part of the sort of the sales force, if you like. Something we, you know, I will just talk briefly about Uppingham, is that we've been working really hard to bring the whole school team together in the selling, you know, and that really goes from that first impression, you know, when someone walks through, in our case, under the tower into the school, whether they're greeted or not by a colleague walking past them, you know, and that might be an academic colleague. It might be one of our gardeners. It might be me. It could be the headmaster. It could be any of those people. And actually, if that person walks past the family and doesn't greet them warmly, doesn't welcome them, that can be the decision made already. And I think we forget that. We forget that those really important bits are happening. And I think our industry sometimes thinks that, you know, the admissions team upstairs are the ones responsible for getting the children in and for bringing the families in. But actually, it's a massive team effort. We have to bring everybody in as part of it. And families are looking at that now. You know, they're talking, they're asking really detailed questions of the children, the existing students. We use our lower sixth form as our tour guides. And they're being asked many more questions than they used to be, and many more detailed questions. I have tour guides coming back to me saying, sir, I didn't know how to answer that, because they're actually being asked, you know, things about the process that they would never have been before. In the past, it would have been very much a sort of jolly tour around the school. Probably the decision was already made. Now it's a sales mission. And that's actually quite exciting in a way. And it's a brilliant experience for our students being involved in that process. But we have to remember that as an industry, that right from the beginning, people are judging us when they walk through our doors.
Mm-hmm. Really interesting what you're talking about there with those first impressions. I remember hearing one time about a head who kind of slightly informally renamed the receptionist as director of first impressions, which I thought was really good. But actually what you're suggesting goes back even a stage before that. And, you know, you think about the groundspeople in the school, you know, it'd be quite easy for a visitor to park maybe in the wrong place, in inverted commas, and a grounds person walks across and says, you know, you can't park there, you got to park over there. And that's their first impression. It's not even the receptionist. It's before they've even got to the reception. Emily, let's jump back to you for a second. I love what Flynn's talking there about pulling together the staff in school to understand the importance of marketing, really, and these first impressions. But what's your experience of sometimes maybe speaking to people who work in marketing and admissions where they understand the need for having a positive first impression, but maybe they are struggling in their school to get the buy-in from the other staff in the school? If someone's listening to this right now and maybe they're in that position, what advice would you give to them?
Yeah, we often hear that. It can be, you know, they can describe it as a lonely role often. And so I think we, you know, what we share there is always that top down support is so important. You know, that head getting them on SLT, sharing it an inset day, you know, the importance of marketing and admissions, why it is everyone's job. Why, you know, everyone is working towards keeping the school sustainable. But I think, you know, teachers can often be busy and just think, you know, it's not my job and I'm teaching. You know, that's the commercial side of the school. So I think, you know, that top-down message behind the importance of it is so important. But I think also, you know, the marketing teams really and admissions teams coming together to share, just give the, you know, the wider school insights into what is happening into marketing and admissions activities at the school, results that they're seeing, the focus ahead, all of that sort of thing, sort of, you know, sort of taking that wall down, if you like, and sort of just really involving the wider school. And on that note, you know, if you tour teachers, you know, in small groups as well, that can often be really effective because then they see it through the lens of prospective families visiting a school and they can suddenly just sort of see the experience that needs to be offered when a prospective family is shown into their classrooms, for example, and what needs...
So the idea then of actually taking some of the teachers around up on a tour as if they are prospective parents.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So sort of saying, look, you know, this is what we tend to do on a tour. This is why it's important. And when we come into your geography classroom, this is, you know, what we'd love to happen. And so doing it that way just sort of puts them in the shoes of the prospective family. And it's better than just saying, you should do this, or, you know, we'd like you to do this. And it's just all a bit awkward. And we see, you know, marketing teams quite stressed as a result of it. And so it becomes a bit of a them and us, which is never a healthy situation. So I think sort of that open dialogue, but I think it has to ultimately come from the top in terms of the importance of it.
It's about being a bit transparent as well, isn't it? You know, sharing the challenges a bit more, I think. But sometimes there's a temptation to sort of sugarcoat things a little bit and to not. I think actually a bit of honesty is really important. And sometimes, exactly what you were saying, Emily, you know, sometimes in our institutions, which have been around for many, many years, there's a sort of certain way of doing things and a certain responsibility that sits in one place and that doesn't sit in another. And actually, I think sharing the challenges a little bit really helps. I think a bit of honesty in the numbers, a bit of honesty in what's going on and the work we have to do to bring each family in is crucial. And I think people buy into that when they realise what's going on behind the scenes. They want to be part of that and want to support.
I think so. And it sort of just unleashes that passion, because everyone in a school is typically passionate about what they're doing. They're passionate about the futures of those kids' lives. And that's a wonderful thing. So to sort of share that as a, you know, common goal, we need to keep our school healthy and future-proofed and sustainable because we need to keep helping these kids here, you know, and it's not just a commercial job. It's a bigger picture.
Flynn, let me ask you something about the parent body, not necessarily at Uppingham, but just your view in general. How can schools harness the power of word of mouth within the parent body?
Word of mouth is such a powerful tool, isn't it? But it can work both ways. And you have to be careful. You have to be ready to make sure it's the right message that's being sort of amplified, if you like. I think there's a couple of things maybe. The first is ensuring that parents have something to be proud of, that they have something to talk about. And that might be that we're sharing information on social media. It might be that we're communicating with them. I mean, communication is the key word here, isn't it? Making sure that we are sharing what's going on in the school with parents, making sure that we are celebrating the good times with them. It's very easy, again, in a bubble of a school, particularly in a boarding environment, to sort of celebrate these things internally and forget to tell anybody else outside. And you have to remember that, particularly in a day of mobile phones, children are telling their parents everything. And we have to make sure that we are sharing the messages, or we are amplifying the messages that we want shared, but also to be aware that sometimes the messages that we possibly don't want sort of spreading around are going to come out, you know. And I think we're responsible for communicating, we're responsible for keeping people in the loop. I think there's a danger as well of sometimes possibly trying to, against that sugarcoating or hiding things, and actually an open dialogue with the parent body is really important. You need them to trust the school, you need them to trust that what they hear from the headmaster, that what they hear from the marketing teams is the truth, and is what's going on. And I think once you get that trust right, then the sort of next stage of the word of mouth, it happens for you. And exactly what Emily was saying about the staff being proud, the parents and the children are proud of their school. You know, they're proud of they're proud of where they are, or you want them to be proud of it. And if you can create that sense of loyalty and that sense of pride, they will naturally share it with other people. They'll naturally talk about it. It becomes the conversation at the dinner party that then leads on to it becomes a recommendation in itself, you know. I think it's that openness again that's crucial. Otherwise, if you try and force messages out, it's not going to work. You know, it has to be what's really happening in the school.
Emily, can I turn to you for a second? I'd love to talk about social media. Schools tend to use social media in different ways. Some schools use it to keep in touch with current parents. Other schools use it predominantly as a tool for communicating with prospective parents. I'm not quite sure, if I was still in marketing right now in 2025, I don't quite know what my strategy would be regarding social media. Some schools that I'm talking to are even talking about stopping their social media because they're not sure of the results that it's generating. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're doing a bad job with it, but sometimes people find they're getting a lot of engagement, but does it actually contribute towards more people coming in through the door at the bottom end of the school? I don't know. What are your thoughts on all of this? Sorry, very big question there.
Yeah, no, it's hard, isn't it? You know, again, just going back to that cluttered online environment, we live in this sort of economy of attention. You know, we have to grab attention. That's the kind of KPI here. Well, how much attention can we get on our stuff? How many eyes? And so, you know, everyone's a journalist, so that's contributing to this hugely crowded online environment. And I think connection is such a massive thing now. And I think that's, you know, something we always talk about three content pillars when we talk about social media. So having that really strategic approach to it is really important. We talk about the three E's, which is educate people about your school, make sure, you know, you have that strong stake in the ground. This is who we are. This is what we offer. This is why you should come and join us. And then it's entertain. You know, social media is social. We want to have that connection with the audience. If it's too polished or if it's too formal, I think within reason, obviously, you know, it loses that sort of, what's needed now is that connection that is what people are scrolling to see online. And then the final E is the entice. That is, you know, just making it work hard for your school in terms of, it's not just about talking about what, you know, year four have done this week, or, you know, lower sixth are up to. It's about, you know, telling the stories that reflect who you are as a school, but then asking the audience to take an action of some sort. So it might be make an inquiry, come and see us, comment below, share an emoji, whatever it is, make it more two-way. Otherwise you just push, and it's just going to have this, you know, silencing effect on your audience.
Great to hear that. Thanks, Emily. Part of this, of course, is looking at, you know, communicating with people and then going from the inquiry stage to the actual enrollment stage. If I put you on the spot and asked you what quick wins schools could be embracing in order to improve those conversion rates, what would you say?
I think so much. You basically just anything that you can do to add the personal touch, that personalization piece is so important. And it doesn't have to be time consuming. It can be, you know, the power of a simple phone call, the power of a simple voice note, the power of simply sending them a little postcard or a little note that sort of saw this and thought of you, you know, sort of seemingly impromptu sort of message. We know Johnny's really interested in rugby. You should have seen the match we had earlier this week. It was amazing. You know, he would have loved it. Maybe send a photo, something like that. Just that personalization piece, I think, is and that can only come from what, you know, Flynn said earlier about listening hard to those families and listening to their needs, wants and desires, and then tailoring that admissions experience, those touch points to those. I think, and it doesn't have to be onerous, as I've said, you know, it can just be, saw this and thought of you. And it's just those little smile moments that can really just build that trust and get you, you know, on their radar as the front runner, rather than perhaps being forgotten about and another school competitor getting in there.
All right, well, let's test this a little bit with Flynn in that case. Flynn, if I asked you, I was about to ask you, how important do you think personalization is in school marketing? I'm almost certain that you're going to say very important. So let's jump to the next bit, which is how should someone in school marketing, and forgive me for making that assumption there, but how should someone in school marketing balance that need for personalization without, as Emily says, you know, Emily says it doesn't have to be onerous. Equally, though, it is going to be more time consuming than just sending out a generic message to everybody. How do you get that balance right?
Well, I think that there's two things here. One is looking at the data, and it's data-informed decision-making, isn't it? Which sounds very high and mighty, but it's true. And I think it's thinking about who is worth spending the time on, which sounds rather cold, but it's almost as important to work out who to spend the time on as it is who not to. You know, we can often, in this kind of work, end up with a great long pipeline of people, and you have no idea where to start because you haven't sort of categorized them. And as Emily said, it's that listening thing. Knowing how warm someone is really important. Knowing at what stage they might move forward. I think the way that it can become too onerous is that we don't actually categorize them, and we just have a great long list and don't know where to start. There's no way we can be sending a postcard to every single person. However, the ones that you think are really warm, absolutely. I think it's also remembering that you're dealing with real people here, that, you know, they are making potentially the single biggest decision that they'll make for their single biggest or single most important, you know, person, their child. And I think it's that human sort of side of it is important. So although you're looking at the data, you then have to remember that behind it, there are real humans and they're making real decisions. I think not having your processes right as well is the other thing that where you can go wrong here. So it's knowing that if X family have done Y, they'll get Z, and following that process. If you start trying to do it differently every time, you'll get yourself in a bit of a pickle because there's just too much to do. And I think we are all, as admissions departments and marketing departments, much busier than we used to be, I think. And we have to find the right thing to be spending our time on. I mean, I'm really interested in, you know, that little bit of follow-up. But I think also, to avoid it being too onerous, you can use the wider team. You know, it's asking the director of rugby to send the postcard that you mentioned, Emily, about coming to see the match, or it's speaking to a house parent about following up from the lunch they had. It doesn't all have to come from one team, and it comes back to our very first question about that buy-in from across the school. That shows the wider team how important they are and how much they're part of it. And actually, what a sense of achievement when that child who is interested in rugby then comes to the school. I think just a final bit on that, actually, that other thing is, it's important for us to thank the wider teams as well. It's easy to forget that, you know, we're asking quite a lot potentially of other members of the school staff body, and it's making sure we thank them for that process and keep them in the loop when Tommy then comes as a rugby scholar, reminding them that was part of, you know, their input in that was crucial, I think, is important. So I've answered a separate question there, Simon, but it was linked back.
Flynn and Emily, you're both a dream to talk to. You really are on a podcast, because Emily's telling us about the strategy, and Flynn, you're telling us about the real world approach to actually doing exactly what Emily's talking about, and then linking it back to previous elements in the podcast recording as well. Keeping an eye on the time, in a moment we're going to bring this to a close, but I must ask the pair of you, what are you looking forward to in the admissions conference next month in November?
Well, it's my first one, so I'm looking forward to seeing what it's all about. I'm looking forward to meeting colleagues in other schools. I was at the Independent School Show yesterday. It was lovely meeting some, and I know there'll be a huge number more at the conference. And I think I'm also interested to share what's going on. You know, as Emily said earlier, this is an industry where it's easy for us all just to be working in our lane. And I think to have a chance to have those discussions, share some of the challenges and see what the future holds, predict what the future holds between us is exciting.
Yes.
Awesome. And Emily, how about you?
I think the biggest thing for us is always just seeing, you know, what we class as our friends. You know, they're just gorgeous people in gorgeous schools doing gorgeous jobs and helping so many gorgeous families. So, you know, for us, I think it's just, you know, amazing to be in that room and seeing those friends and, as you say, Flynn, you know, sharing insights, but also gaining inspiration. And yeah, it's just going to be a lot of fun.
Fantastic. Well, I'm sure that you're both going to have a great event there. You're both going to be speaking to a lot of people. Surely people who are listening to this right now will be making a beeline to catch up with the pair of you. If it's okay with the pair of you, we'll put links to your LinkedIn profiles in the show notes for this podcast episode. You're both nodding, which is a good sign. But in the meantime, Flynn, Emily, thank you both for your help. It's been great having you here on the podcast. Thank you for giving up your time and talking to us here today on the AmKiss podcast.
Oh, pleasure. Thank you so much, Simon.
Thanks, Simon.